Going on, everybody. Happy Thirsty Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here live at our FTN YouTube page. Chris Meany here hanging out with you. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out. We are going to talk championship week picks. We got a couple, of course, the two games everybody's been waiting for. By now, you know, Ravens and Chiefs and Lions and 49ers. We're going to get after it in just a little bit. We're going to talk about those two games. I got some props. I have some touchdown props, as well as the one-and-done lineup is set. I don't know about locked in. Pretty much locked in. Any changes that I make, I will revisit this page like I have been before kickoff and tell you guys about any changes, but I'm pretty sure I'm locked in. It's nerve-wracking now that we're down to four teams. We have all four quarterbacks available to us, a ton of tight ends, and we just got to hope that things fall through for us. We had a bit of a chalky bracket between the 49ers and the Ravens, and I'm not really coming off of that, but I'll take any questions, of course, always at Chris Meany. You can reach out on the Twitter machine, X, whatever the cool kids are calling it these days, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. You see now you're watching live on our YouTube page at Chris Meany there, and if you're listening on iTunes and Spotify, you can always hop over to our FTN Network YouTube page. Appreciate you guys smashing the like button, subscribing, all kinds of great content. This isn't great content, but we have all kinds of great content over at FTN. Hoops with Noobs, Blickle's killing it, the PGA stuff, Mike Randall as well with some college basketball stuff. And I know our guy Josh Gross is giving away some goods on Twitter as well. And he just retweeted a tennis pick. And he said, if somebody loses to somebody, he's going to give away some stuff. And I love giveaways. And we like giving away some things here as well. Promo code FTN wins if you're looking for any kind of packages over at FTN. So with all that out of the way, let's get into the goods. Actually, I do want to give some love to Better. We have a relationship with Better, and they're giving away some stuff as well. Like today I saw an email come through from them. Steph Curry scores you 1 point, you win. It's a simple over or under on a player's prop. There's no pushes. It's very similar to Prize Picks, but a new account gets you a deposit bonus up to $500 when you download the app. It's available in a lot of states. You can use promo code MONEY. But again, it's a simple over or under on the number listed. You hit it, you win. You don't, you lose. More guys in your ticket, the more cash you're going to win. So check them out. Better, that's BETR. And you can download their app over at the Play Store. So again, let's actually get after it now for real. Save the props in a little bit. I don't have many thoughts that are changed from earlier in the week when we talked about these two matchups. We'll start here with the AFC. Let's talk about the AFC and the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. We really haven't seen much line movement out there. There's still a 3.5 using our prop shop and parlay calculator. For my own pool, I am going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs to cover this spread, and I'm going to pick the Ravens to win the game. It's the bracket that we had heading in. I know, again, it was chalky. It was Baltimore, and it was San Francisco. There haven't been a ton of surprises here in the playoffs. Of course, the Cowboys one is certainly surprising. The fact that Green Bay almost won last week is definitely surprising. The Eagles getting bounced early is not surprising. Kansas City beating Buffalo last week, not surprising. It was a really good game. Again, you know, no shots at Josh Allen. He did what he could. The defense didn't help him out, and he didn't get the kick at the end of the day. But this is a different defense in Baltimore, right? This is a they lead a lot of categories, if not one, two, and DVOA defense against the run, quarterback completion percentage against, passing yards allowed, yards per attempt. It's just a stout defense with all kinds of playmakers all over the field. Kyle Hamilton in the slot, you know, it's going to be a really good matchup with him and Rashee Rice, Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, JV and Clowney's playing really good football. The Ravens haven't hosted an AFC championship game in like, I think 60 some odd years. I'm pretty sure I heard that on NFL Live. I should have double checked that stat. Don't quote me on that one. But I know a lot of their runs over the years have been on the road. Of course, what we said on Monday's show is since 2009, there's been three quarterbacks that have, you know, played in the AFC championship game. It's Brady, it's Mahomes, and it's any guesses, any guesses, any guesses. Still, it's wild to me, but it's Mark Sanchez, you know, when he was a member of the Jets, and the Jets had a couple runs there thanks to their strong defense. I think Mahomes and company will do enough, man. It's hard to count him out as a 3.5 point dog. I think the Kansas City defense will play better this week. They didn't play all that great. Credit to Spags and the adjustments he made at halftime. But the biggest thing with Kansas City is their run defense. I have some concerns about their run defense. And you saw Buffalo were able to have some success running the football. And I know they were a little bit better running the football in the second half, but they're not that great of a rushing team. Overall, you look at their numbers and they are. I mean, Josh Allen is a big part of that. And James Cook had some great games down the stretch. But the Ravens run the ball really well. Really, really well. And they like to run the ball using our pace tools and a neutral game script. This is over 50%. Their rush rate is the top mark in the NFL. They will continue to pound the rock with Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards. We saw Dalvin Cook get a little bit of run last week. So I lean with Baltimore being at home and the good defense that they have in Kansas City. And it's tough, again, to go against Patrick Mahomes. And I think if you're the Ravens, you are really focusing in on Travis Kelce. He's not going to be wide open like he was last week against the Bills and, you know, busted coverage and some, they're playing some cover and, you know, the wide receiver out route, he bites, Kelce's wide open, post corner route. So it's, the fact that I don't think Kansas City defensively can match up with the Ravens, and I will go with the home team and win the football game. But I think this is really good. I think people that are just saying, it's Baltimore, no question, they're going to blow them out. Kansas City's offense is no good. It's been better over the past couple weeks. Part of that is the opponents. There's no question. I heard Aaron Schatz on his show here at FTN say that it was the best offensive performance Kansas City had all year. I've just noticed a change in the offense when they have just made it about three players. And that's what they have done. I know MVS stepped up last week, but it's been Kelce, it's been Rice, it's been Pacheco. And I think that I lean with the under there. I don't think we're going to see a shootout, a whole lot of points. I think this is going to be a struggle for both teams. We don't have a long track record of these two teams hooking up. I went back and looked. I know Mahomes has lit them up a couple times. It's been like 3 years since they played. Mahomes had like nearly 800 yards and I think 9 total touchdowns in a couple games. So much has changed since then. Baltimore didn't have any weapons. They have weapons. Mark Andrews is going to play in this game. It's a nice added boost. Maybe run some two tight end sets with those two big tight ends and Andrews and likely run the ball down Kansas City's throats. But I think that Kansas City will be able to keep this thing close. I'll get some props in just a second. So I am picking Baltimore to win the game, but I like Kansas City, the +3.5, and I have a lean to the under there. As for this one, I like Detroit +7 too. I liked Green Bay last week. I thought it was a large number. I think this one is a large number. I don't think we've really seen any line movement. In fact, actually, now that I'm looking, I see a Kansas City +4, even better. +4, no threes across the board. So it looks like some people are starting to hammer Baltimore. Maybe you wait that out a little bit longer. I don't know if you get a 4.5, 5. I wouldn't imagine that's the case. But yeah, give me Patrick Mahomes to kind of keep this thing close. But he's going to have to, somebody else is going to have to step up like last week. MVS, I don't know how much success they're going to have running the football. How stubborn are they to continue to run the rock, run it with Mahomes as well, like he can do, and then take some shots down the field. We'll see. It's kind of why I feel like the under is the play here. But as for Detroit and San Fran, I now see a 7.5 out there for the Lions. That one I will officially jump on. I haven't put anything in the tracker yet for these two games, but I will do the 7.5 in my own pool. That's what I will have, +7.5 as well. And it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with last week. Last week was last week. It was the weather. It was the sloppy play from Brock Purdy. We can chalk it up to the weather. We'll chalk it up to the weather. We could chalk it up to the weather. We could chalk it up to Deebo Samuel. I mean, I'm sick of hearing that he can't win without Deebo Samuel, but it's a decent enough sample size dating back to last year. As this offense is efficient when he's on the field, and then it's not so much when he's off. It's like over 7 yards per attempt when he's on the field. I mean, he's a big part of the offense, but they have so many other pieces here. Like CMC is obviously a cheat code. You see what happened last week. I was sitting there thinking, why doesn't Shanahan just tell Purdy to hand it off to CMC? Like, come on. And the Green Bay was one of the worst first down defenses all in football. And on the other side, San Fran's one of the best first down offenses in all of football. And you saw when they started to hand it off, they started to move the ball a little bit there. I looked at the weather. It doesn't sound, doesn't look like there's going to be any rain, mix of sun and cloud. Things can change. Debo is 50-50. I think today is a huge day. According to some reports out of San Fran, this is the only practice day they will have. It's like their true practice before the game. So we'll see if he can get out there dealing with the shoulder injury. If he plays, if he doesn't play, I still like the Niners to win this game. I would love, my heart would love to see Detroit and Baltimore. And it's nothing against Kelsey and Mahomes and Taylor Swift. I just want to see something different. I really do. I'd love the story of Detroit and the video of resurface of Dan Campbell, you know, 3 years ago, getting the job and the bite your kneecap off and this kneecap and that kneecap will get up. I mean, how could you not like this guy? Could you not play for him? A couple years ago, they were just getting their first win in like week 12 or 13. He's going to have this team playing. They're going to be really aggressive, man. I like Ben Johnson as a play caller. I think he's going to be extremely aggressive in this game. I don't think he can get into, third and long situations. I know that Goff has got the issues on the road. You know, certainly that's been talked about on this show a lot in the media, the home and away splits. It's a thing for Goff. It really is. You know, since he's been a member of the Lions, he's struggled outside of a dome. He's had some good dome game outside of the dome this year. He's had some decent games. And think about Detroit, or I think about a game against Tampa Bay earlier in the year. I obviously think about the bad one that he had against Baltimore. I think he had a 6-3 record on the road this year. So I'm not diving into that too much. You can take some shots in this quote unquote so secondary in San Fran. I think that's their weakest part of their game. They're tough to run on. They have some great linebacker play, of course. Like, their secondary is not awful, but you can take some shots against their secondary. So I think that Detroit is going to be pretty aggressive moving the football here. They're great at stopping the run. You can only slow CMC down so much, but I think they're going to have some success on defense. And at the end of the day, like, Purdy in big situations here, we've yet to see it. He was in this spot last year. I had questions about him heading into Philadelphia, and we didn't see him finish that game. We don't know how that one would have ended. He didn't play all that great last week. I didn't think he was spectacular against the Seahawks in the opening round last year either. I thought he was okay. He did enough. I don't think that he's just a system quarterback, like all that stuff. I saw the drive that he had in the final drive. To credit to him, he deserves his flowers. He was great in that drive. But at the end of the day, man, like, Jared Goff has looked pretty good as well in the playoffs. They got some. This is gonna be a good game. This is gonna be a good game. Absolutely, I like the Niners to win, but I'm taking the 7.5 here now. I'm jumping all over that. I have a slight lean to the over. I didn't like the over last week between the Niners and the Packers. Some things that I said, that the Niners play slow. The Packers play slow too. They were the two of the slowest teams, two of the five slowest teams in football in terms of pace of play, using all the time off the clock. San Fran's still going to do their thing, play that way, but there could be some explosiveness here, and we'll transition into some of the props that I like because of some of the matchups, and of course it's presented to us. I'm going to start with Jahmyr Gibbs here at over 21.5 receiving yards. This is the number that I put into the tracker. I would take anything over 24.5, 25.5. His catch prop is 3.5 at +116 over at Bet Rivers. This one is from FanDuel. It is my favorite play of the week. He's in both of his playoff games, 4 targets, 4 catches, 40 yards, 43 receiving yards in both of those games. He's just so explosive. He's too explosive not to get the ball in his hands. And the rushing attempt prop for him is 9.5. For David Montgomery, it's 10.5. I think that Detroit could have some success running the football. I don't want to say that they're stubborn. Sometimes they're just like, hey, we're going to continue to run this with Montgomery. But Gibbs last week, the touchdown that he had and the cut that he had to the corner of the end zone, it just showed his full display, his explosiveness and his speed and how he can take over a game. I just think you have to find a way to get the ball in his hands. And on top of that, the Niners, they did struggle against running backs, you know, out of the backfield, catch some passes. They allowed 5.3 catches per game to running backs, which is the fifth highest mark in football, 36.8 receiving yards per game to running backs, which was the eighth most in football. And you just look over at some of the running backs that they played and some of these running backs that have had some success against them. You know, most recently, Brian Robinson Jr., 4 catches, 32 yards. Justice Hill had 31. Gus Edwards, who were not used to seeing get any catches and targets out of the backfield. He had a catch for 39 yards. It was a big run that he had. Kenneth Walker, we're not really used to seeing him being that using that type of the game. Four catches, 33 receiving yards. Kenneth Gainwell had 42 receiving yards on five grabs. Even Boston Scott had a catch. It came in garbage time. Some of this stuff could come in garbage time. They're, again, 7.5-point dogs. It also could just come early with Ben being aggressive as a play caller with a couple of screens there. I'm sure the attention is going to be on Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta. So it could come early. It could come late. Dearness Johnson, I'm looking again, like Dearness Johnson, two grabs, 28 yards, Rashad Wright, 28 yards, Joe Mixon, 23, Cam Akers, two catches, 30 receiving yards. How about Amari DiMarcado, 21 receiving yards, Tony Pollard, 35, Gary Brightwell in week two, Kyron Williams, 48. So there's been a number of running backs that have had some success catching the ball out of the backfield here. Jahmyr Gibbs over 21.5 receiving yards. Brandon Ayuk is next year at 79.5 receiving yards. This number may change. It may go up when we hear about Debo. It could climb up to 84, 85. I think we have him projected for 86 receiving yards. I don't want to sound like a broken record. This is really about the Lions secondary, what we talked about last week with Mike Evans. We liked Mike Evans at 64.5. We loved it. He had over 100 yards. It just couldn't be stopped. The week before, we loved Puka Nacua in the wild card round. He topped 100 yards. So it's back-to-back weeks here in the playoffs. We've seen a wide receiver top 100 yards. This is the matchup. I think he has the best matchup, even if Debo is playing. He grades out 100% in our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool for Brandon Ayuk. And in case you missed last week, I'll just kind of dive into some of the other numbers. 181.2 receiving yards allowed to wide receivers in the regular season. That's what Detroit gave up, the third most in football. And also, they were 31st in yards per attempt allowed at 7.8, only the Bengals allowed more, and 27th in passing yards allowed. And just dating back to the past few weeks, I mean, even Baker Mayfield had a good game. He threw the football. I mean, he had a couple picks, and he wasn't able to pick up some of the blitzes, but he was able to chuck on this defense. We saw Nick Mullins in week 16 and week 18 have roughly 800 passing yards and four touchdowns. With Justin Jefferson, 192 in week 18. CeeDee Lamb, 227 in week 17. JJ again in week 16, 141. Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, top 70. Week 15, Chris Olave, 119. So it is a good matchup. And Brandon Ayuk is among the leaders in the regular season. He was number two in yards per catch at a certain point of just not guys looking at guys that had at least 40 grabs. George Pickens was number one, just ahead of him. And a lot of that came in the later part of the season. But Brandon Ayuk here, I like him at over 79.5 receiving yards. A couple other props here that I like. Man, I can't shake this cold. I just can't do it. I'm coughing nonstop. So there's Gibbs. I got Justin Tucker. How about this? A field goal prop. Oh my goodness. I don't think I've given one of these all year. I've had a couple of them in the tracker this season. I remember giving a couple last year in the playoffs as well. -123 over at Caesars. I don't want to go game log chasing here, but he does have 2+ field goals in 6 of his last 8 games. We know what he can do. He's one of the better kickers in football. I thought KC's red zone defense was pretty solid over the past couple of weeks. And, you know, this could come as like a 55, couple long field goals. I don't expect a ton of points. I know both quarterbacks can, you know, ball out, but I expect, you know, these kickers to be used, the defenses to stand tight and tough in the red area. So I'm taking Tucker over 1.5 field goals. I got Brandon Ayuk there at over the 79.5 that I talked about. Gibbs on the board here at 21.5 receiving yards. Rashee Rice at over 59.5 receiving yards. And we didn't get this last week. Some other guys stepped up. The Bills did do a good job. Rashee Rice, I know he missed a couple snaps due to some injuries, but overall before last week, I know it's hard to just not count last week. We have to count it. But heading into that game, he had topped 70 yards in 5 of his previous 6. He had averaged 9.7 targets, 7.2 grabs, and 92.5 receiving yards over a 7-game span. And last week, just the 4 targets, 4 grabs, and 47 yards. 9+ targets in 6 of his last 8 games, at least 10 targets in 4 of them. Among the leaders in yards after the catch, top 4 in football, 653. I think this is going to be one of the better matchups this week in Kyle Hamilton on Rashee Rice. I just think that as much as I can sit here and tell you that I like Pacheco as well at over 14.5 rushing attempts, and there's a pretty good sample size of him. I think 11 of his last 13, he's had at least 15 carries. I would like to say that they will stick to the run, but I think the way to beat Baltimore is to throw the football on them. And I know they have a lot of great playmakers in that secondary, but I don't know how much success they'll have of just handing it off to Pacheco. And he's a different beast. I mean, the way that he runs super hard. He can run all over you. But I think the focus for Baltimore will be like, dude, you guys are going to have to beat us another way besides throwing the football to Travis Kelce. I think Rashee Rice has been pretty consistent in this offense over the past several weeks, ever since they turned it over. I see everything kind of run through him, Pacheco, and Travis Kelce. So I'm taking Rashee Rice here at over 59.5, and I like Pacheco at over 16.5 receiving yards as well. The numbers aren't as crazy as San Fran, but they are among the leaders in catches allowed to running backs inside the top 10 at 5.1 per game and 31.4 receiving yards to the position as well. Some of these numbers, again, some of this stuff comes in garbage time late in the game. Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler, ETN, CMC, Achan, Harris, these are all guys that top this number over the past couple weeks. It's not a big number, 16.5 receiving yards. Pacheco hasn't been extremely involved through the air this year like he was last year in the playoffs. He had his coming out party last year against the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs. He had 6 targets, 5 grabs, and 59 receiving yards. And then that carried over this year. If you remember on this show, we talked about him being the potential to be a bell cow back. You know, he was running routes in training camp, which he didn't do as a 6th-7th round rookie last year. And then this year, understanding the playbook, he had 44 catches this year on 49 targets. He had multiple games with 3+ grabs. He wrapped up the season with 7 targets, 7 catches. He had 3+ catches in his final 4 regular season games. Now, he only has 2 grabs in the playoffs for 13 yards, but he hasn't really needed to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. They had no issue with Miami in that game. They just did whatever they wanted. They ran the ball with him. And then against Buffalo, they were just chucking it down the field. They were taking advantage of the poor linebacker play that Buffalo had, all the injuries that they had in their secondary. They're 3.5-point dogs here, 4-point dogs now, maybe 4.5. I just like the way that he runs, and there's no Jerick McKinnon. I think we could see a couple grabs from him. I'm also intrigued with the 2.5 catches at plus money. I think that the better play is with Gibbs at 3.5 plus money, but I think he's going to get a couple dump offs. And yeah, man, like if Kyle Hamilton is shutting down Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce is getting shut down and doubled, dudes are going to have to step up. And I feel a little bit better about rolling the Pacheco receiving yard prop here as opposed to like the MVS one. The other one here was Gus Edwards. This number is moving pretty quickly. So I don't think, you know, a 10.5, if it's plus money, I dig it. I think I saw the last I came on here, it was -155. We can't get involved with that. There's still -135 over at BetMGM, -140 at DK, -156 here now at Caesars. 10.5 at FanDuel and BetRivers is nearly even money. Last week, I don't think we can dive too much into last week and him, you know, getting only a couple of touches out of the backfield and seeing Dalvin Cook. He had 10 carries for 40 yards. He had 10 carries in 3 straight games. Or 16 actually in, you know, 3 games ago, but just 10 on the button in the last 2 games. What I noticed last week is Dalvin Cook got his run in the 4th quarter. There's a little bit of Justice Hill there for sure, and he's going to be a factor. They're going to run the football, even with Lamar Jackson, of course. But I don't think we can sit here and say, oh, you know, Dalvin Cook's going to get another, you know, 5, 7 to 8 touches. I think he got his run in the 4th quarter because that game was out of hand. Houston didn't run a play in the red zone last week against Baltimore. That was a 34-10 football game. There was no reason to run Gus Edwards. I like the over on his rushing attempts, and I like the over on his rushing yards. And it's at 41.5 over at Bet365. And I saw 39.5 last night. I was going to put it on the board. I didn't chuck it in. It is a bet that I like. I think they kind of correlate well as well. I think he can get 10+ carries and run on this Kansas City defense. If there's a weakness, it is the rush defense. But just to give you a peek of the differences and why the prop shop is so darn cool is 41.5 and then 44.5 over at FanDuel at the same price, -110, -114, very similar price. When you take the 41.5 as opposed to the 44.5, I think that they'll run the rock there. So those are the props. I got a few more in the bet tracker. I can list them off for you. It's Gibbs over 3.5. It's the Pacheco for 14.5 rushing attempts. So that's where I'm at. I think that the numbers on Amon-Ra and Kittle, as well as Laporta, are a little high. I'd say if we could pick one of those three, it's probably Kittle. We'll see what happens with Debo. Just the big explosive plays that the Detroit Lions give up in their secondary, and the fact that Brock Purdy, you know, he's for the most part, you know, if you look at the numbers in the regular season, he's among the leaders in yards per attempt and completion percentage. And Detroit, as we talked about earlier, giving up some big plays. So I think that there's a little bit more to be said when it comes to Kittle and Ayuk than Laporta and Amon-Ra. But Laporta's an absolute beast. I think he is in for probably another, he could flirt with another 10 targets or so. Here's the touchdowns, and then we'll wrap up with the one and done stuff here. So George Kittle at +115, Lamar Jackson, run one in. These guys, you're not going to get a lot of bang for your buck, but these are guys that I think will find the end zone. George Kittle, Lamar Jackson, and Jahmyr Gibbs at +145. Rashee Rice is somebody we've been picking a lot this year. The yards after the catch, the explosiveness, among the leaders in red zone targets. The attention, I think, will be on Travis Kelce. I think a little bit of a better number here as well. I also have Pacheco. As much as I'm saying that I don't think it's going to be a completely high scoring game, I tried to come in here with just, you know, two long shots and Isaiah Likely, even though Mark Andrews is coming back. I also like Nelson Agholor as a little bit of a dart throw at 6-1. You can find in some spots. I think earlier in the week he was 8-1. I know he scored last week, his first playoff touchdown. He had a great Super Bowl game with the Eagles. He just didn't score. He has a little bit of playoff experience. He gets some looks from Lamar Jackson in the red zone, but I'm going to go with Isaiah Likely. There's a little bit of a trend here. Mark Andrews could be on a pitch count. He's a mismatch as well. And if they run some two tight end sets in the red zone, that's going to be a handful for KC to figure out. So +420 for him. Josh Reynolds as well. You know, I was between him and Jameson Williams. Josh Reynolds plays more than Jameson Williams. He runs more routes. He gets more red zone targets. I noticed that the A-dot has been a little bit smaller for Jameson Williams, but I think Josh Reynolds is, you know, he scored last week. He's a guy that Jared Goff looks to him. These guys have a relationship going back to their LA days. But a little bit of some chalky ones. So Kittle for the touchdown there. If I was to pick another San Fran guy, it would be Ayuk. Of course, like CMC is -350 for a touchdown. I've never seen that before. So Kittle with the touchdown, Lamar Jackson with the touchdown, Rashee Rice, Jahmyr Gibbs, Pacheco. So two Chiefs there. We got two Lions. A second San Fran would be Ayuk, Lamar Jackson, Isaiah Likely in there. If I were to give you one, I already gave you two Detroit. That's enough. We gotta try to find some winners. You can't give like 10 picks here. That's what we're trying to do. It's easy. It's hard. It's tough. Papa Bear, Meany, welcome in. What do we got here? Steven, Big Ben. I don't know what that is. Big Ben. Lee, Niners. Big Ben's a comparison. It's Big Ben. You know what kind of reminds me of Big Ben, Josh Allen, a little bit. Lee Ving, Brock Purdy is no good because of supporting cast, but Josh Allen is no good because of his kicker, NFL narratives. Yeah, it's been a tough week for Josh Allen supporters this week. I think people have been pretty hard on him. I heard what Ryan Clark said on the ESPN shows. I kind of agree with him a little bit. Just the fact that when Lamar Jackson loses games, everybody is really hard on Lamar Jackson, extremely hard. He can't get it done. He can't win that big game. When it's Josh Allen, it's all about, there's always seems to be some sort of excuses. Now, he's played great in those playoff games against Kansas City. He's played fantastic. It hasn't been on him. I was hard on him on this show on Monday because of the couple of throws, quote unquote hero ball. You hear that tossed around a lot. Yeah, buddy was wide open in the end zone. He got bumped. He hardly got bumped. I just thought he should have taken what the defense gave him. Kill the clock, slow the clock down. You score a touchdown there. There's 2 minutes left for Patrick Mahomes to march down the field the other way. We already saw what happens when Patrick Mahomes has 13 seconds with to march down the field the other way. So I just thought they should have stayed. They were killing so much clock. I know they were struggling to run the ball in the fourth quarter there, but Diggs was wide open there in a slant, would have been third and short. Mahomes probably doesn't get the ball back, you know, if they make that sort of play. But anyways, that's over with. There's a lot of excuses for Purdy too. He's got a ton of weapons. He needs to show up in a big way. I don't think that he's good enough to win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Lee. I think that if it's the Chiefs, I think he'll have a better time, and I'm sure he'll be better than what he was against the Ravens, but I won't be picking him and the Niners to beat Baltimore. There's just no way. I just can't do it. That defense just can't do it. Gibbs on the edge should be the Lions' advantage. If the Lions pick on Thomas, that is their shot. How hard to throw with no UCL? Hard to throw an UCL from last year. I get it. But I was told that the Niners would have won last week or last year in that conference championship game if he didn't get hurt. I don't know. The way that he played last week, I'm not so sure. We'll get into some Super Bowl stuff here, some Super Bowl MVP bets. I haven't really honestly dove into it too much. We'll can do it on the fly here. Here's the one and done lineup. This is what I'm rolling out this week. In order to roll that out, I guess, if you've been hanging out with us, I think you've had a little bit of success. This is what we rolled with in the wild card round. We had a decent showing. This is what we rolled with last week. Another decent showing in second in the SiriusXM League. We're flirting with close to 400 points. Probably not that much, but I forget the exact number. None of it matters. And then we're into this week as well. So we're locking in Brock Purdy as the quarterback. We have David Montgomery as the running back one. We have Gus Edwards as running back two. We have Brendan Ayuk as wide receiver one, Zay Flowers wide receiver two. Again, back and forth last night on Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds. I went with Reynolds, the same reasons why I went with him for a touchdown. More red zone looks, more snaps, running more routes. The relationship with Jared Goff. I think that if you're down significantly, Jameson Williams is the play. If you're looking for a safer route, I think Josh Reynolds is the play. Travis Kelce here is my tight end, and my flex is Sam Laporta. And I am rolling with the Chiefs defense and the Chiefs kicker. Now, it's not something that I would do if I had all the choices to me. I would really like to roll out San Fran D and San Fran kicker this week, but I don't want to be left with nothing next week. And I already used Justin Tucker and I already used Baltimore's defense. So I just don't want to risk having a zero in my defense in my kicker spot. So I have to roll with the Chiefs. And then next week, I'll just take San Fran defense kicker or Detroit defense or kicker. My thinking here is all four quarterbacks are available. I think that the higher scoring game will be between Detroit and San Fran. And the two defenses on the AFC side. Plus, I'm going to have a pretty heavy San Fran lineup in the Super Bowl, you know, with CMC and Debo and Kittle, that I didn't want to just go Purdy and CMC and Ayuk. So I'm trying to split this up a little bit. I really like the matchup against the Lions secondary. Ayuk is my guy. Even if Debo plays, I'm going to save him and roll out Ayuk. I would consider Kittle if there's no Debo, depending on your format, how your lineup construction is, you know, flex, two flex, things like that. But next week, the thinking here will be one of the AFC quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. If it is Baltimore that advances, you know, we will have some options there, you know, with an Aguilar, an OBJ or Bateman. We will have Mark Andrews available to us. If it's KC, it's going to be a little bit tougher. We will have MVS or Watson available to us. It's not as exciting, but those guys will be available to us. And we went heavy with Rams and Lions and because we wanted to have a good start. So that's the thinking. We had a really good start here over the first couple of weeks. And, you know, if the Niners get to the Super Bowl, we'll have the GOAT CMC. And that should be enough to keep us ahead of some teams that may be playing catch up. Also, some guys that would be available to us if Detroit, you know, moves on. We would have a Jameson Williams there potentially for us. And running backs will be pretty thin next week. CMC will hopefully carry us. We can have Justice Hill, Dalvin Cook. We may have Elijah Mitchell. We've already used Gibbs there. For San Fran wide receivers, again, we'll have Debo available to us next week. Maybe Jennings here and there for a flex. We'll have all the tight ends are available to us this week. So using Kelce and using Laporta, and then hoping that it is a Baltimore and San Fran Super Bowl, we could have some sort of Kittle and Mark Andrews. Again, I think we'll have enough pieces there to get us by. So that's what I'm rolling with. Laporta over Reynolds, if you could choose only one, right? Yes, if I could choose only one, it would be Sam Laporta. You know, the 11 targets last week, he had a really solid game. he's going to be leaned on in this game. Again, I think that the Detroit Lions are going to be aggressive. I think they're going to be aggressive, take some shots in the middle of the field, just like Green Bay. They took shots last week in the middle of the field. They opened up some play action. Detroit can do that very well. And the Niners are pretty strong against the run. So, yeah, I would lean with Laporta over Reynolds. I think he's a better play there for you. Conference championship week, let's go. So I didn't see that one earlier. Kyle Woods, let's go. I'm losing my voice. I think I have to get out of here. Kyle Woods, this is a question here. So he's got Purdy in there and Gibbs and Hill. You got Jennings and Reynolds for your wide receivers. Kelce is your tight end. Flex, Laporta, you're down 70. Unsure if this wide receiver group, maybe MVS, OBJ, Aguilar, or JMO are better options. Want to save the Niners, but you're open. Yeah, I think... I think maybe going for a guy like Jameson over Reynolds may be okay because it's a high upside play. You know, if he scores a touchdown and maybe like a 45 yarder, I think it's more likely that Reynolds scores the touchdown. I don't want to confuse you, but I think the ceiling is higher with a guy like Jameson Williams and even Aguilar. But I think, you know, I think having Purdy there, you know, if he can hook up with Jennings for a score or two, that will definitely, you'll gain some points on the group that way. I like what you have. I like what you have. You're shooting for some upside here with some of these players and Gibbs. I think the only thing I would consider doing there, Kyle, would maybe swap out Reynolds for JMO. Swap out Reynolds for JMO, play Kelce, play Laporta, some two red zone targets there for you. I got this weird feeling Aguilar is just going to be a thing again this week. But I like what you got going on there. I think that makes a lot of sense. You have both Niners wide receivers available to you. Yeah, you have both. So what, like Debo and Ayuk on top of Jennings, or did you use Debo last week? I think if Debo sits, you can play Jennings. I think he's actually a pretty good play. I would consider him myself as well, but I just don't know who I would take out of this lineup. I want to keep Flowers in there. Reynolds I want to use. I just don't think Detroit wins. I want to use the tight ends. I think Jennings is a pretty good play. I'll be interested in his props as well if Debo's ruled out. I mean, he does show up in games where there's no Debo. It's just a really good run blocker too. He's on the field anyways. And he can play that Debo role, not as nicely, but, you know, Shanahan does dial up some plays for him. And he does have the trust for Brock Purdy. He had a couple nice targets and catches for him as well. You're going to save Flowers for next week. Yeah, I would do that as well. All right, guys, I think that's it. Super Bowl market. It could take a pretty good look here. I don't want to give you just chalk. I'm sticking, like I said, with the bracket at the start. I would love to see Detroit and Baltimore. Detroit and KC, a little Taylor Swift and Eminem in your life at the Super Bowl. But I'm not as sick as KC as everybody else. Easy for me to, it's actually not easy for me to say as an Eagles guy. I mean, these guys broke my heart last year, but I'm not like everybody else. It's just so sick of seeing Travis Kelce and Mahomes. I respect it, man. Six AFC championships in a row. It's very Jordan-esque. It's impressive. Very, very impressive. Let's go to MVP stuff here. We'll take a look. This isn't a market that I'd like to dive into at this time of the year. All the good odds. We probably missed out on some Super Bowl MVP stuff. And they already have odds for next year's Super Bowl. The Niners are plus 550. Where are the Eagles at? The Cowboys are at 20-1. The Eagles are at 22. Okay, so Super Bowl specials. All this stuff we will dive into. We will dive into all kinds of like little fun stuff and good Gatorade color, first song, all that nonsense. Lamar is plus 220. Brock Purdy's plus 330. I mean, CMC at plus 350, I think, is definitely the one that stands out to me right away. But I do like Baltimore to win the game. I think that they're going to win the game. Lamar at plus 220, you're not going to get a better number than that. I'd like to give you better bang for your buck. But if the Ravens win, you know, Lamar was good in that game. I thought the defense was the real MVP. You know, we'll have some long shot stuff. I'm not interested in Marlon Humphrey, but I see 200-1, Kyle Hamilton, 120-1. Some things like that, like Purdy may throw a couple picks. It could be some sort of pick six. There's some decent long shots there to, and those will still be long next week anyways, even if Baltimore wins. Gus Edwards, 75-1. I don't like that. He'd have to score three touchdowns. Lamar will probably run a couple in. I think that Zay Flowers at 75-1 is pretty interesting. You know, if Baltimore wins this week, that number probably gets to 45, 50. People start hammering it. Maybe it gets to 35-1. Zay Flowers could easily have like a two touchdown, 100 plus yard game. That's very, very possible. Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, these guys are at 100-1. Not crazy about Odell Beckham Jr. Just don't think he gets enough volume, doesn't play enough snaps. I think, yeah, Flowers, Andrews, Likely, Lamar Jackson. And hey, if you're a big Niners believer, it's not a bad bet to go with CMC at plus 350. Right? I mean, he make the case for him to win the MVP this year, even though I don't think he will. Touch the ball 25 plus times. That's what he does. He scored two or three touchdowns, turn around a game in a hurry. I thought he turned around the game last week. I thought he was the reason that the Niners turned things around and won the football game. So those are the long shot bets, but we'll have some fun. You can bet anytime scores right now too. So you can get a little bit of value on some of these Baltimore guys that you just won't get next week. Andrews plus 250, Flowers 3-1. But I don't really, it's not for me. I don't want to bet that stuff now. I don't even know if these guys are going to be playing in the game, right? So I think the MVP odds are worth it, but the touchdown props I don't think are really worth it. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Enjoy. Any questions, hit me up. Again, I'll circle back on this video. Debo's playing, you know, give my thoughts on things, but I have my lineup set as if Debo is playing. And if he's not, like we talked about, I think Juwan Jennings is a good option. At Chris Meany, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Circling back on these videos in the comment section, if you have any questions, hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page, smash the like button, subscribe, and ask any question that you guys do have. I think I read it off for the people, but for the iTunes listeners, Purdy, Montgomery, Edwards, Ayuk, Flowers, Reynolds, Kelsey, Laporta, Chiefs, and the kicker. If you had all the defenses and all the kickers available to you, I would roll with San Fran defense and San Fran kicker, and then you roll with Baltimore or KC next week. Have a good one, guys. Appreciate all the support. You guys have been awesome. Good luck this week with your one-and-done lineups. Let's take it down. Enjoy the game. Should be awesome, both of them. I think we'll see Baltimore and San Fran in the Super Bowl. Talk to you then. Cheers.